All right, good evening. How are y'all doing? I'm doing blessed. I hope y'all are too. That's good. Well, if you welcome those of us online and those of us that are here, if you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. Oh, yeah, there you go. We can sit. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, wondrous words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. Find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I reflect upon the past. Has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, is there anywhere more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrow, and when weary find his rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I worship and I pray. While I from his fullness gather grace and comfort for today. Bless me, O my Father, bless me. All my inner life renew. Now look down in love upon me. Let me catch a glimpse of you. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me holy through his word. Prove I've been with Jesus, been with him, my risen Lord. Amen.
Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I'll stand. Of all love songs, I want to bring to you. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so. God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so. And I'll stay.
Amen. I was sinking deep inside.
my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now save am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of His blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the Spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully, all for us to do. They who trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised perfect peace and rest.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody got a pick of Him this evening? A tune, a lyric, something you're thinking of? 5:10? Favorite number? 5:10? Heaven came down on 5:10. All right.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day I will never forget.
And after I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. And shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. And heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I have a hope that will surely endure after the passage of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Amen.
All right, that'll work. Let's turn that air off back there. I'm about to freeze. Man, it's cold in here. Like a meat locker. When I turned it on, I must have bumped it down too far. Yeah, no, 55, sir. Yeah, that's too far. Need to get these eyes checked. It's been a year since I've had my glasses, since I've had my eyes looked at. I think I'm due. I'm going to have to get back in there and get the prescription adjusted. Amen? Yeah. You turned it down. I thought I said it on about 74. Amen. Well, last week in the Bible study, we normally have about, I don't know, 16, anywhere from 16 to 26 views a message, you know, whether it's Wednesday night or Sunday morning. But last Wednesday night, I don't look at it every week, but I just was looking on the YouTube and checking the page, and last Wednesday had 58 views. So who passed that around? Who passed it around? Bobby passed it around. Who did you pass it around to, Bobby? Who did you pass it around to? Okay. And you put it on there, huh? Well, my goodness, sucker got 58 views. All right, man, very good. Outstanding. Any praises? I guess that's a praise. Yeah, amen. The word's getting out. Amen. All right. Other praises. Anybody else got one? What else? What else? Uh-huh.
He said we're here.
We're here. Amen.
We're up.
All right. Okay. Amen. Bobby's son. Things working out. Amen, amen. All right, what else? Any other praises?
Yeah, I got one.
What you got?
Praise, Saturday we...
Yeah, you're on.
And
Yeah.
Saturday we visit my mom, and she was really she really was up, you know, and seemed real happy.
Yeah.
So that is a praise to me. She simply had a good time.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we had about 20, 25 people, all the grandkids and hunting eggs and stuff like that. So
right, yeah.
It was a lot.
What time did y'all get up there?
Oh, we got up there Saturday, about 10.
Oh, y'all did it Saturday.
We did it the day before, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, come to church and all
that. Yeah, amen.
But anyway, it was good praise. We had a good time.
All right, Jeanette had a good Easter. And it looked like we had Jolynn Haggerton with us Sunday. It looked like she had a good Easter. I saw some pictures over at the Jackie's place. A lot of her family were over there, so had a good Easter. Jolynn had a good Easter. That's good. Amen. Amen, amen. Anything else? Any other praises? All right, prayer needs. Okay, then we'll get back to you, Brother John. Yeah, go ahead.
Brother Marco asked for prayer.
Okay.
He's going to do, I don't know if it's his first one or not, but he's going to prison ministry tomorrow. And it's he's told me it was kind of the rough end of it all.
He's going to prison ministry?
Something like that, yeah. Prison ministry. Okay. Yeah, he'd been training for it.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, he wanted prayer. I think this is his first one.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Is he going to Huntsville?
No, it's some, it's now he said Memorial something. Man, I don't know. He didn't say Huntsville.
Okay. All right. Prison ministry. Amen.
Huh? Yeah.
Your son-in-law is doing that.
Right.
Where does he go? Like a halfway house? Okay.
Yeah. I think it's what this is, too. He said it was a lot of the gang leaders that he was going to minister to.
Okay.
And
so these are folks that are incarcerated?
Yes.
All right, man. We'll be praying for them. Amen, amen. Brother Marco, prison ministry. What else? What else? Okay. April. Okay. Okay. Just pray for wisdom in life. All right. All right. Vicky's niece. Did you see Bill this Easter?
No,
you did not.
She was up there in the
space. Okay. All right. Well, very good. You did talk to her. Amen. All right, we've got, let's see here, Virginia and Lily. They just lost a brother, and it's actually Lily's twin. So his name was Willie, is that right? So it was Lily May and Willie Ray. Yeah, so Willie passed away, what?
I think he said Monday or something.
Monday, I think. Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay. The funeral is on Friday. Yes, it's at the funeral home. Visitation is at 10, and service to follow. And I cannot remember the name of the funeral home, but it's in Garrison. Pardon? Sissy, can you get all the pertinent details? You're taking, Sis, you're taking care of the flyers on that, right? Yeah, amen. Okay. Virginia and Lily. So, Willie. So there were six of them. Virginia's the oldest, and there's four left. So two years ago they lost a brother to COVID. So this is another brother they lost. So would have been what did we say? Says 78 in June. Did we say 78 in June? 77, 78 in June. Lily's got a birthday in June. Lily and Willie had a birthday or will have a birthday. So we've been praying for Virginia and Lily and. Ray and Kenneth, as they travel up there, traveling mercies and comfort for the family. Mercies. All right. Brother John, you had one?
Yes,
Ronnie's eyes.
Ronnie Vaculant.
I'm sorry, Ronnie Vaculant. His eyes. And then I have one for David Cole Morgan, C-O-L-L-M-O-R-G-E-N.
Okay, C-O-L-L-M-O-R-G-E-N.
He's going in for CAT scan, possibly colon cancer.
Okay.
And he's one of our members of the Volunteer Christian
Movement. Volunteer Christian, okay.
Yes, sir. All right. And then our shut-ins, of course, and Ronnie Holman.
Shut-ins. Brother Ronnie. Holman.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll pray for those Ukrainians. There's a group of them. I think they said about 1,000 are holed up in Mariupol in the last ground that the Ukrainians are holding right now. It's in a steel factory. And there's women and kids there, and I think about 1,000 troops trapped there. And they will not surrender. So, yes, sir, Brother John.
Isn't that the one in the Black Sea?
Yeah, Mariupol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they will not lay down their arms. It almost sounds like the Alamo, man. They're just not going to lay it down. So,
wow.
But women and kids involved, and so they're in that it's the Donbass. I think I'm pronouncing it right. The Donbass region, and saw in the news tonight that the U.S. is sending howitzers, artillery, but what they were talking about tonight is that time is of the essence. They got to get these things. They're in Europe. They got to get them all the way across Ukraine. Going across Ukraine is like going across Texas, like going from El Paso to Houston. I mean, they got to truck them a long way. And then, you know, a lot of those roads have been shot up and trains and all that stuff. So it's going to be kind of be touch and go here the next 5 or 6 days over there in eastern Ukraine. So let's continue to pray for our Ukrainian brethren. All right. Anything else? Anything on the online? No? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. All right, let's do it. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you that we can praise your name, sing songs of praise to you, Lord, and celebrate our salvation. And Lord, we're thankful for your grace and your mercy and your love. Thankful that we got to sing about that tonight. Thank you for the beauty, Lord, the last couple of days, the cool mornings. And Lord, we're reminded of the change of the season as we stepped outside today with humidity. But we praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, looks like we're going to get one more shot of maybe some cool air on Monday. And we just rejoice in that because that may be the last cool air we see until fall. So Lord, we're just thankful for the cool, dry air that you roll through here. We are praying for rain, Lord. We're praying for rain for the state of Texas. Praying for rain for the Southwest, praying for rain for the west part of the United States. Lord, we just pray that you might open your floodgates and allow the rain to come and end the drought. Lord, we don't want to see what we went through here back in 2011 and 2012. Lord, we just pray that you might intervene before all that. We don't want to see those rolling wildfires through here, Lord. So, Father God, we just pray. We know you're the God of heaven. You're the sovereign God in control. And so, Lord, we're just putting it before you, praying for rain tonight. We are praising you tonight, Lord, that your word is getting out. Thank you that you're using this church and using these people. And, Lord, we pray you to continue to do that, working through them. We are praising you tonight of the breakthrough with Bobby and his son. And, Lord, we just pray that that would continue to go in a better, good direction, good and better direction. Lord, as we've been praying for that to happen, Lord, we praise you that James's mom, Jeanette, had a blessed Easter, and Miss Jo Lynn as well. Thank you for family, Lord, and special times getting together, Lord, around Resurrection Sunday and just the fellowship. And Lord, thank you that you put us together in a family when we get saved. And Lord, it's great to have saved family members. So we just rejoice and praise you for all that good that came out of this past weekend. We do lift up Brother Marco to you, Lord, as he goes into the prison ministry. Watch over him, Lord. Lead God and direct him. Protect him in all of that as he takes on a new challenge in his life there. And then, Lord, we lift up Miss Vicky's niece, April. We pray that you'd give her wisdom. You'd give her discernment. Lord, help her make good life decisions and just wise decisions in her life. We lift up Virginia and Lily to you, Lord, and Ray and Kenneth as they all get ready to travel to Garrison for the Lily and Virginia's brother's homegoing service. Lord, I pray in the midst of the loss that you would bring comfort and you bring peace. And Lord, we just pray in that in the midst of that homegoing service, there'd be seeds of salvation sown. There'd be a Willie's salvation celebrated and lifted up as a testimony. And Lord, we pray that lost friends and family members would hear some good old gospel and might get one step closer to their own salvation. But Lord, bring them back safe as they travel there and then come back. Watch over them, Lord. We lift up Ronnie Vaculik to you tonight. We're praying for his eyes. Pray for his eyesight, Lord. We're praying for this medication that he needs. Praying that you give Miss Alita safe travels across town to get it. And Lord, we pray the medication is exactly what he needs to give him some relief and get these eyes back where they need to be. We lift up David Cole Morgan to you, Lord, a volunteer Christian Builder member. We're praying for his upcoming CAT scan and possible colon cancer. Lord, we pray not have colon cancer. Lord God, we pray if he does, we pray it's treatable, that the doctor is able to get it, treat it, and Lord, get him back to health. But we lift David up to you. Pray you put your hand upon him, Lord, and bring healing to his life and to his body during this time, Lord. We continue to pray for our shut-ins. Keep them encouraged, Lord. Thank you that we can be in contact with them through our video and through the YouTube and through the transmission of these messages across the airways. We praise you and thank you for that. Lift up Ronnie Holman to you tonight, Lord, and we pray for his cancer. Pray you might remove it. We always pray, Lord, you might touch his body, bring healing to his body. And then, Lord, we pray for the people of Ukraine. Specifically, Lord, we pray for these thousand or so folks in that steel mill there in Mariupol. Father God, I pray that you would intervene. You would put a hedge of protection around those folks. That, Lord, infantry and artillery and mechanized war machines, Lord, would get to them in time and help get them out of that area or help take back more of that city that's already been lost to the Russian attack. Lord, I pray that the Russians might come to their senses. President Putin might put down his sword. And, Lord, there might be a quick and steady retreat of Russian armament and Russian troops. But God, protect those people. Help them defend their democracy and help them defend their land. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We know that in the end times and last days there will be wars and rumors of wars. So we're not surprised. We're not shocked. This is just the playbook, how it goes down. But Father God, we're praying for their protection, Lord. Be with us as we get into the Word tonight. We pray our hearts and minds will be open to it as we continue on in Revelation chapter 20. We love you tonight, Lord. We praise you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. Take a copy of God's Word, and let's look at Revelation chapter 20, and we'll invite you to stand, and we'll read verses 1 and 10 again of this passage, and then we'll seek to get into some more of this Bible study on this first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, Revelation 20, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God reads, "And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer. Until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. And may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, last week, we attempted to introduce this great yet controversial passage on what we're calling the millennial kingdom or the millennial reign, however you want to think about it. It's that 1,000-year period which the Christ, which Jesus, amen, second coming, will establish after the Battle of Armageddon and the destruction of Babylon at the end of the 7-year tribulation. He's going to establish this millennial kingdom, this millennial reign. Now, think with me for a moment. Imagine, if you will, a world dominated by righteousness. Righteousness and goodness. A world where there is no injustice. A world where no court ever renders an unjust verdict. Not going to be able to say the glove don't fit there. Not going to be able to get away with that. A world where everyone is treated fairly. Imagine a world where what is true, where what is right, where what is noble marks every aspect of life, including interpersonal relationships with each other, including commerce, including education, including government. Imagine a world where there is complete, total, and where there is complete, total, enforced, and permanent peace. Imagine a world like that, where joy abounds and good health prevails. Can I get an amen on good health prevails? Good health prevails so much that people during this time are going to live hundreds of years. Not 70 or 80 or 90, but hundreds of years. Imagine a world where the curse is removed, where the environment is restored to the pristine purity of what was in the Garden of Eden, where peace reigns even in the animal kingdom. So that Isaiah 11:6 is the reality. Isaiah 11:6 says, "And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little boy will lead them." Imagine a world ruled by a perfect, glorious ruler who instantly and firmly deals with sin. Now, humanly speaking, that description may seem a little far-fetched where we're living at. May seem like a utopian fantasy that could never be a reality. Yet what I have asked you to imagine accurately describes conditions during the future earthly kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The restored and radically reconstructed earth after earth of the millennial kingdom will constitute paradise regained. The 1,000-year reign of the Savior over the earth is the divinely planned and promised culmination of all the redemptive history and the realization of the hope of all the saints of all the ages. Now, last time we got together and we tried to introduce this and talk about it, we gave you a quick review over the truth of God's kingdom. We touched on that. And then we I gave you, I began to kind of walk you through three dominant views concerning the nature of the millennium. We talked about postmillennialism. We talked about amillennialism. And we mentioned what the view that me as your pastor has and the majority of conservative theologians hold to. Do you remember what that biblically based view is called? Anybody? Premillennialism. That's right, premillennialism. Gold star for Brother Jeremiah. Thank you, brother. These 10 verses here at the beginning of Revelation 20 are not an exhaustive description of the earthly kingdom that's coming at the end of the seven-year tribulation. However, this passage does set the stage for the remainder of the biblical revelation about this millennium by giving us several important truths. We start the first important truth this evening, and that is, number one, truth, Satan is going to be removed for a time. For a time. 1,000 years. It's going to be removed for a time. Now, I'm calling it the demotion of the devil. The devil is going to be demoted, right? He's going to be put up for a while. He's going to be taken out. The first matter for the king's attention, for Jesus' attention, the king, King Jesus, right? Second coming, he's the king, right? The first matter for the king's attention as he sets up his kingdom is the confinement of the chief rebel, right? There's a rebel among us, principality of the air, right? He's stirring up all kinds of stuff, right? He's going to be taken out of the scenario. Now, what has Satan been called? What has he been called in the Bible? Right, I just mentioned it. He's been called the God of this world, per 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's been called the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, per Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. What is the result of the devil's demotion? What is the result of that and the removal from the scene of the world? The result is this will dramatically change the world for the better. Amen? I mean, Jesus is going to be on Mount Zion, and the devil's going to be put up. It sounds like a pretty good deal for the old world. Amen? Well, not only do we see the demotion of the devil, but inferred here, inferred, we see the death and the removal of the rebels. The death and the removal of the rebels. By this time, God will have destroyed all human rebels. Now, though I'm talking about those without salvation. Those without salvation who survived the tribulation judgments will have been executed at Armageddon as the armies of the world come together and try to face and try to put down Jesus Christ as he steps out of glory onto Mount Zion. Armageddon, man, as they attempted to stand against the Messiah. Now, we read about that back in Revelation 19, 11 through 21. But the question is this, what about those that didn't die at Armageddon? What happened to those people, the lost people, that didn't die at Armageddon? The unsaved left after Jesus' second coming will end up in what Matthew's gospel calls the goat judgment. Goats are going to be separated, right? The goat judgment. Matthew 25, 41 through 46. Now, Matthew 25, 41 through 46, I always pictured that. This is where Revelation is kind of helping me kind of get all my theology kind of just tightened up, right? This is where Revelation helps me. In Matthew 25, 41 through 46, I always pictured that goat judgment as the white throne judgment. But those that remain after the Armageddon and the destruction of Babylon, there's still going to be lost people left to deal with. They will have to be removed from the scene somehow. They got to be taken care of somehow. Matthew 25, 41 through 46 seems to fit what would perhaps happen to the leftover lost folks left on the earth. Now, you'll remember that the ringleaders of the worldwide rebellion, the beast or Antichrist, and the false prophet, they will have, at this point, already been thrown into the lake of fire per Revelation 19, 20. Thus, the final step in preparation for the kingdom will be the removal of Satan and his demon hosts, so that Christ reigns without the opposition of supernatural enemies. You're not going to have, there's won't be no spiritual warfare. Not like we experience today. That will be O-V-E-R. So in keeping with a premillennial view, with me so far, be advised that the location of this passage in the chronological flow of Revelation is consistent with a premillennial view of the kingdom. After the tribulation, chapters 6 through 19. That's a lot on the tribulation. Christ will return, 19, chapter 11, verse 21. And he will set up his kingdom, chapter 20, verses 1 through 10, which will be followed by the new heavens and the new earth, Revelation 21, verse 1. Thus, the millennial kingdom comes after Christ's second coming, but before the establishing of the new heavens and the new earth. Amen. Praise God. Everybody following there? So the passage clearly teaches that Christ's return precedes the millennial kingdom, a scenario that is incompatible with the other two views that we talked about last Wednesday, which is postmillennialism and amillennialism. But it is exactly what premillennialism teaches, because premillennialism is what? Bible-based. Amen? So, to get around the difficulty of the chronology of Revelation that it poses for their views, postmillennialists and amillennialists, they've got to deny the order of chapter 20 following chapter 19. They've got to deny that chronological order. Well, friend, it comes right after 19. They've got to somehow massage that and argue that and justify their, it just, that dog don't hunt, right? We see another angel. We'll leave that because people go, those are big words. Postmillennialism, all big words. There was a couple last Wednesday, and that's the first thing she said to me when she walked out. You use big words. I don't always use big words, but I did tonight, and I encouraged them to come back. Well, they're not back here tonight. Maybe they'll come back next week. But we see another angel in these first three verses. Let's get into this. I've got a little bit of time left here. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he, talking about the angel again, must be released for a short time. Who's going to release him? The angel's going to release him. All right, so we see another angel in these verses. And the rhetorical question is, who do you think it is? Who is the angel? We don't know, Jeremiah. We don't know. The identity of the angel whom John saw coming down from heaven to bind Satan is not disclosed to us, but I guarantee you it's not your everyday, average, run-of-the-mill angel, right? Theologians believe it to be Michael the Archangel. Michael the Archangel, the great adversary of Satan. Now, he is the adversary of Satan, Michael the Archangel. Evidence of Michael and Satan's adversarial relationship are found in a few places in the Bible. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. You want to write it down and look it up. We don't have time. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. Daniel chapter 10, verse 21. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And then Jude, verse 9. Right? Give you several examples. Whoever the angel is, he possesses some awesome power. He is sent to the earth with a specific agenda to seize Satan. To seize Satan. That's a hard one. Shouldn't have wrote it like that. To seize Satan for the 1,000-year duration of the kingdom, to bind him, to cast him into the abyss, to seal the abyss, and then release him at the end of the 1,000 years, thus removing the seal that he had sealed over him. So, as we close it out tonight, how are we to understand the term abyss in this passage? And again, this is where the study of Revelation, I almost wish I would have studied Revelation 10 years ago, maybe. I don't think maybe I wasn't ready to study it then, but they say you got to really read your Bible and be up on some things before you get into it. So God's sovereign and all that, but part of me wishes I would have got into it maybe a little bit earlier in my ministry, but this is where studying this kind of really helps me. How are we to understand the term abyss in the passage? We have seen this word before, abyss, as it appears 7 times in Revelation. 7 times, abyss. Revelation 9:1, 9:2, 9:11, 11:7, 17:8, and then here in this passage. It's always, and this is where I needed help, it's always in reference, to the temporary, not permanent, to the temporary place of incarceration for certain demons. Abyss. All right? Abyss. I always used to refer to abyss as eternal lake of fire, as hell. But that's not what it is at all. It's a temporary place. A temporary place of incarceration for certain demons. In the abyss, their final, or is the abyss their final place of punishment? And the answer, of course, is no. It's temporary. The lake of fire, a different place, is the final place of punishment per Matthew 25:41. However, the abyss is not a country club. It's not Club Med. You're not wanting to take vacation at the abyss. Now, you never want to go to the abyss. The abyss is not for you. Amen? We're going somewhere else besides the abyss. For the abyss is a place of torment to which the demons fear to be sent. And if you'll remember, we've preached through it before, the healing of the Gergesene or Gerasene or Gadarene. You know, the two Gospels kind of change it up a little bit right there, right? The Gergesene or Gerasene or Gadarene demoniacs, right? One Gospel talks about one. Another Gospel talks about there were two, right? Truth be known, there were probably 3 total, right? And Gadarene and Gergesenes are 2 different areas. But anyway, I'll give you Luke's reading. Luke chapter 8, verses 30 through 31. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." Right? For we're what? Where many demons had entered him. And you know what they were imploring Jesus? They were imploring him not to command them to go away into the abyss. Don't send us into the abyss. So what did they do? They ran off a cliff, right? Huh? Yeah, that's right. Pigs, and then off the... Yeah, there you go. There you, amen. The prisoners in the abyss are the most vile and evil of all the demons. And we read about them. They include in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. 1 Peter 3, 19 and 20. In which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Those demons that we read about in 1 Peter 3:19 through 20, who attempted to corrupt the human race by cohabitating with human women, per Genesis 6, 1 through 4, that was years and years ago, we preached through Genesis. These guys will never be released. They will never be released, per Jude verse 6. Jude verse 6 says, "And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness, for the judgment of the great day." So what's the point about the abyss? One day, all of these demons, what do we read it here? Key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, serpent of old, who's the devil, bound him for that. The point is that in this temporary place where these guys are, they're going to be transferred. Now, Satan's going to be let out at the end of the 1,000 years. But these guys that we talked about here, 1 Peter, Genesis 6, Jude 6, they will be transferred from the abyss to the eternal lake of fire. Amen? That's what's happening to them. And so we will end it there. Amen? We are, We've made a run at verses 1 through 3 of Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Hallelujah, amen. And so, I don't think I have a whole lot more to share about post-millennialism or all-millennialism. Amen. Those are big words. Those are big words. They are. Amen. Let's have a closing word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Those of you online with us tonight, good to have you with us. And we'll see you back here on Sunday, hopefully. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you how the book of Revelation kind of ties up a lot of loose ends in the Bible. Thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for how it kind of brings a good ending to a great story. An ending of victory for those that are saved, for those that are saints, for those that are heaven bound. We praise you and thank you for that, Lord. We love you tonight. Give us safety as we depart this place. And Lord, may we have a spring in our step tomorrow and the rest of this week because we know you, because we're following you, because we're in your word and we're praying, Lord. May that Holy Spirit in us just give us a special twinkle the rest of this week, a special disposition, a special attitude of victory, a special spiritual positivity, Lord, as we go through the rest of this week. Lord, there are things that come against us, things that try to trip us up, things that will try to entrap us and entangle us. Lord, may we not take the low road, but may we take the high road. Lord, may people see a difference in us because of Christ in us. Thank you for saving us, Lord, and thank you for loving us. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Dismissed. Amen. Uh-huh. Yeah.